Welcome to the Collide Podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
A lot of people don't speak, as you said, don't speak to the challenges or the trying times or the hardships, but yet we all go through them, and that those are usually our defining moments. So I think that for me, the more we can talk about those things, the more others can actually relate and say, oh, you went through hard things too, but you still came out successful or it still worked out for you. And to me, that's encouraging because everyone does go through hard things and it isn't just this fairy tale story almost ever.
Welcome to the Collide Podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide. And today I am so excited to sit down with Wes Herman and Kelly Spiker. Wes Herman is the chief executive officer of Woods Coffee, and his daughter Kelly Spiker is the president of Woods Coffee. Woods Coffee is a company with several locations located in the Pacific Northwest. It was established in 2002 by the entire Herman family. And I actually have had the privilege of knowing the Herman family even way back before the conception of this business and kind of gotten to watch it unfold. The kids used to be a part of a youth group in the church that I was a youth leader in. And so it's been incredible to see firsthand the growth of this company. And today they join me to talk about how this idea came to be, the incredible vision and growth that God has unfolded, the blessing and challenges of working with family, leadership lessons, the importance of legacy, and so much more. So Wes and Kelly, thank you for, in the midst of all you do, taking time to hang out and have this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
We're excited to be here. Yeah, absolutely. This is a fun father-daughter event. And I know this ministry is, you know, predominantly to women. So I'm honored to be a part of this.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Wes, you've been an entrepreneur from an early age. Where do you think that comes from? Do you think that's a gift that God just instilled in you? Were you raised by an entrepreneur? Where does that come from?
It's a great question. You know, I am asked that often, and it has only been in the last few years that I've actually put that to thought and understand where it happened for me and how I learned. I do believe that being an entrepreneur is something that is God-given, and that you either have it or you don't. I don't think it's something that can be taught, although there are risk management things that every entrepreneur should learn, because that's where they live, is in this space of risk without any consequences, so or thought of consequences. In my case, I was raised in Colombia, South America, with parents who were missionaries. And when we left the mission field and came back to the United States, I was 7 years old. And from that moment on, my dad figured out that he would not be able to support his family on a pastor's salary, because that's what he was when we came back to the United States, that he needed to invest in real estate and figure out how to make that work. So the best way he did was to buy a home that we lived in, and then he would fix it up, and then we would sell it, and every 2 years we'd move, and he would do this, you know, transformation. So honestly, it's kind of surprising to say, but I learned a lot of my entrepreneurship from my father, who was a pastor.
It's so interesting that you were able to look back and sort of locate this experience of growing up with someone who was doing entrepreneurial work and how that shaped and impacted your life. I'm told that you had four goals that you wanted to achieve by the age of 21: to be married, to own a home, to own a business, and drive a Mercedes-Benz, and you accomplished all four. I really want to hear, Wes, when you set goals, how do you lean into making them a reality? A lot of people set goals, but they never become a reality. And here you were at 21 rolling in a Benz.
Yeah, not only rolling in a Benz, but learning life lessons because of that Mercedes-Benz. So the best business thing that I learned, because I had never gone to school. I mean, the happiest day of my life was the day I graduated from high school, because I knew I'd never have to go to school again. And that was the driving force behind those goals, was I wanted to prove myself to my classmates who were going away to college, that 4 years from then, when they returned, that I would have something to show for, you know, what I'd been doing with my 4 years. So that was the driving force, and I was driven by goals. I played sports, and various activities that I did, I set goals, and I achieved them. I worked through high school in a gas station, and right as I graduated from high school, then I started managing the gas station. And then I figured out that that wasn't my life. So I went on to work in a cabinet shop. And, you know, that was the first business we owned. But yeah, the goals, you know, that's just a big part of what I am, what I love, I'm passionate about. I think that entrepreneurs are driven by goals, not necessarily by money.
Mm-hmm. You had this inner drive to be successful. It's really interesting that you didn't go on to college, but wanted to prove that you are making something with your life. And ultimately, you have proved that, which is such a cool story. What do you think the biggest mistake is that we make when we set goals? There's people listening here today who, you know, will be in awe at all the goals in your life that became a reality. And they might have some they're sitting on right now, but they're not a reality. What are the mistakes we make when we set goals?
I think the biggest mistake is not being able to adapt and change as the goal unfolds. A lot of times, you know, like I had those goals, but at the time I was wanting to be a firefighter. And so I'm working in a business and I'm doing the things that ultimately became a big part of my life, but that wasn't the drive. I wanted to be a firefighter. So I went through all the testing, did everything. And there were so many roadblocks in those days that even though I was scoring really high, I couldn't achieve that goal. And so then it was, okay, now I'm going to adapt my goals and I'm going to put that behind me and move on, rather than just, you know, beat that down until, you know, there's nothing left and I'm so, you know, taken back by the fact that I can't achieve something. So it's in my case, it's not only setting goals, but adapting and moving and changing to whatever is coming along. So equally as important to goal setting and entrepreneurship is to, you know, understand what it's like to be an opportunist.
Hmm. It's so interesting because you're kind of talking about knowing when to let go of your goals.
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think most people hang on to their goals so tightly that it becomes their passion and they can't see anything else but those goals. And I have a lot of entrepreneurs come to me now and they've got goals and agenda and they're unwilling to listen and to adapt to what, you know, I know would make them much better at what they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. So you had all of these different roles. You worked at a gas station. You started a cabinet shop. You set out to start Woods Coffee with your wife and kids in order to teach them about business as a part of their homeschool education. I mean, some people come up with, let's go on a field trip to the science center or let's build a volcano for a science project. Your family comes up with the idea of starting an entire business. I mean, talk about a big idea. How did you guys get this idea?
At the time, it's kind of funny because Kelly and Natalie, my two daughters and I, we were working in a company, together actually. And it was kind of interesting. I was the sales manager and Kelly and Natalie were working different jobs within that company. And, we had one small product that was sold into the coffee industry. And I was traveling the United States, selling a majority of all the other things we sold, but this little ancillary product that was sold in the coffee industry really caught my attention and ended up in a lot of coffee shops. And I was loving what I was experiencing there. Then I'd come home and my kids, who were going to coffee shops and enjoying, you know, that whole adventure of that's where you meet your friends, that's where you hang out, that's where you enjoy, you know, this beverage that's a worldwide phenomenon. So I'd come home from business trip. We'd talk about coffee at home. The kids were talking about their experiences in a coffee shop and enjoying coffee. And one day, my wife, who does not drink coffee to this day, said, "Why don't we start a coffee shop?" And so she's a tea drinker. She drinks a large glass of iced tea is like glued to her hand 24/7. So it's really interesting to watch. But so she challenged me. And so then this is the opportunistic part. So she mentions that. And then all of a sudden, I'm already setting goals of, okay, here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to achieve that goal. So she might have just flippantly said it, but then I went into action.
Wow. And Kelly, how old were you when you guys opened your first Woods Coffee?
I was 17 when we opened our first store. I think I was supposed to be a senior in high school at that point, but I'd pretty much finished up all of my school work. And so we opened our first store in February of 2002. And so I just kind of launched into, okay, I'm now going to be a barista and figure this out. So I was 17 at the time.
I know you can't encapsulate all the education you've received from this venture over the course of all these years, but I'm going to put you on the spot and ask, can you pick like a top three educational moments list that you've had over the course of the years? I mean, are there some moments where you remember, wow, I remember learning about this, or learned this about business, or learned this about myself, like key education moments?
Oh man, there's so many. I don't know if I could think of even examples, but I would say for me, over all the years, I've learned the most about people. So it's just from, you know, experiencing everything from hiring, training, and then having to fire someone for the first time back when I was, you know, like 18 years old, and how hard that was. Every little moment I feel like I took as a teachable one. And I always want to keep learning. I mean, I still feel like that today. I'm still learning things every day. But I would say most of my learning comes from just the experience with all different people at all different times. And I try to just take every opportunity to learn from every situation.
Well, I just have to interject that part of that story is really fascinating, because when we opened our first store, we had no knowledge about what we were doing in coffee. We had never worked in coffee. We just thought this would be a cool idea. So we go ahead and build this whole coffee shop and invest money and do this whole thing. And then the espresso machine shows up the day before we're going to open. And I looked at Kelly and I said, "Now what? I mean, how are we going to do this? We literally do not know what we're doing." And she said, "Don't worry, Dad. I've seen this done. I can pull this off." So to her credit, you know, like she knew from an early age that she could fool everybody in knowing that we knew what we were doing.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you figure it out as you go is a lot of what we did. And I mean, that's partly my personality is, it's okay, I'll just jump in here, trial and error, figure it out quick. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, off to the races.
I love that you just said that, Kelly, we'll figure it out as we go, because I think there's so many people that desire to do big things with their life, but they think they have to have it all figured out before they take one step forward into it. And you're kind of saying, no, we figured it out as we went. To give people a glimpse into what we're talking about here, we're not talking about one coffee shop. Wes, can you give us a glimpse around just how big this venture has become?
Absolutely. So when we started, we had the goal in mind of doing multiple coffee shops over many decades and making this a family adventure that, you know, would sustain not only my wife and myself, but then our kids and then grandkids if they wanted to get involved, and to make it multi-generational family, you know, business. So right now we have 18 locations. And we stretch about 100 miles from where we're sitting right today to our furthest store away. And we have our own bakery. We have our own roastery. We have our own distribution center. And we are you know, just 100% vertically integrated. And, you know, this is a part of our lives. Every part of our family has been involved or is involved in the company. And so it's, you know, it's front and center. We've got grandchildren now working in the business, which is really exciting. Kelly's son works in the business. He's working in the warehouse. He's 15 years old. And so he's homeschooled and then does some work in the warehouse when he can. And by the way, to your point of figuring it out as you go, to Kelly's point, this would be speaking to those people that are listening to this podcast right now that have their notepad out and are making notes about what we're talking about. You know, it's okay. You don't have to have it all figured out. It doesn't have to fit into a manuscript. You know, it can evolve and you should enjoy that adventure in the way that God leads you through whatever that calling is.
Wes, when you say that, I mean, you mentioned in the beginning that you guys had a vision for more than one coffee shop. So you did start with a big vision, but has God unfolded that vision and made it bigger over time?
I don't know about bigger. I think that for me personally, and I can't speak for Kelly, I would had hoped that we would have, you know, maybe five times as many locations and that we had, you know, taken up a larger geographic footprint. But I can also say that I don't know that what that would have cost us as a family to take on that type of thing. So again, back to the adaptation, we adapted to what worked well for us. And we are really cautious about how we invest. We only invest and grow as we make profit so that, you know, we've got our feet under ourselves, which is not necessarily the place that most entrepreneurs want to be. They want to be in that place where they're risking it all and they don't know where, you know, tomorrow's money is going to come from. And I've been at that place many, many times in my life, but I'm comfortable to say that I'm not there now, and it's a much better place to be.
Mm-hmm. Every time I hear you talk about Woods Coffee, Wes, you talk about loving working with your family, and you know you can't wait for your grandkids to get involved. Now you have your first grandkid involved. What's the blessing of building something with family, and what are also to the counter of that? What are some of the challenges that come along with it?
That's wow. There's so much there, and I can't tell you that, you know, it's perfect and that it works all the time, that everybody is in, you know, harmony. But I can tell you that we are exceptional and that we are way different than most family-run businesses and have, you know, been blessed not to have drama. And we have made that a cultural part of our business to eliminate drama wherever we can, to be conscious of you know, how we speak of the business, when we speak of the business, when we're together as a family, how do you separate those things? You know, all those things that come out, all businesses start as a family business. I mean, you know, it's somebody's idea and they either morph into something really large and that becomes very corporate. Ours is a blend of, you know, family and some structure and a lot of other people around us. You know, we have 250 or more people that work for us. So, you know, there's a lot going on. And, but we just love the whole idea that we can work together and that it, you know, flows seamlessly. We don't try and make too many expectations. We don't demand. We you know, just encourage and are so thoughtful about how we work together that it just works really well. And by the way, I'm sitting looking out in my backyard right now as people are here constructing our home that we moved into recently on our family compound. So not only do we work together, we play together, we travel together, and we actually live in a, you know, this setting where we have multiple homes on a piece of property and all live together.
It's really quite unique, you guys. I mean, a lot of people don't even want to spend Thanksgiving with their family, let alone work with their family and live by their family. Do you guys have some sort of check-ins? I mean, like yearly check-ins or monthly check-ins with just the family where you're like, how are we doing here? Or has it just worked without that?
I think for the most part, it's worked without that. One thing that our family's really good at is just having really open communication at all times with each other. And if there's a problem, you just talk about the problem and you move on quick. If there's a disagreement, you argue and then ultimately decisions made, and we are really, really good at moving on fast. And I think that that's why we can work together, live together, you know, not live together, but close by, and even vacation together and get along, because we just don't let anything get in the way of the relationship. And we are also committed to that, that one of us would leave the business right away if it ever had to happen. You know, it's like we hold it loosely enough to say our relationships with our family members are more important than the business. They're more important than the money. They're more important than anything else. And at all costs, we will save the relationship.
That's a beautiful value, you guys. Kelly, I want to talk to you a little bit about you as a woman leader, because we have a lot of women listening who are, you know, leading, whether they're, you know, own their own business, or they're teachers in a school, or they're homeschool moms, or they're doctors. And I'm told that you have an "if I don't know, I'll figure it out" attitude, which is actually often unique to find. I know that from working with volunteers and employees, and you probably do too. When you look back to being a kid, what is one of your first memories of realizing you loved solving problems?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a memory of solving problems, but I think that some of it might have been, so I started working at age 13, and I worked cleaning out horse stalls and kind of caring for some horses, because I started riding horses and realized really fast that it was really expensive to ride horses. So I had to get a job to be able to, you know, do that as a hobby. But I just, yeah, I remember from that, I mean, probably 13 years old, you know, working with all these horses, I was alone, usually working with them, and just knowing that it was on me and I had to do the job and figure it out, and no one was there to answer questions, and I just made it happen. And I think that's probably when I realized that that was a part of who I was and a strength of mine, of just figuring it out, solving the problem. And I realized I really loved to solve problems, kind of through that experience.
I can speak to a little bit of that, in as much homeschoolers, and I know I'm speaking to a broad audience here, but those women that are listening, or men that are homeschool parents, you know that you are raising kids that are self-starters. They have to be. And that's the blessing of homeschooling. And when we see homeschoolers that even come to work for us, we see that they're self-starters. They're self-motivated. They know what to do. They take on the challenge, and they take it on as if it was nothing, because they don't have to go to school and haven't been taught to follow this step and then this step and this step. They just figure it out as they go. And that's the blessing of that. And I think that it was a big part of our entire family entering the company when they did, because they just assumed, oh, this is what we do.
Yeah. And I think it's really the homeschool aspect of our family has really lent itself well for us to work together, because we've always worked together. We worked together since we were in kindergarten, because we were all at home together doing school all of those years. It feels almost no different now. It's just in a different capacity.
Interesting. You know, something I think is really fascinating about you, Kelly, is that you've worked in practically every aspect of Woods Coffee. You've been a barista, an assistant store manager, a district manager, and now you're the president of the company. How do you think doing all these varying jobs prepared you for the present time and grew you into an even better leader than you would be had you not done those things?
Yeah, I think that for me, it's really important that I've done all those things and all of the jobs. I've tried to do every job to some capacity in our company, because I feel as a leader, it's my duty to know what everyone that works under me does, what it feels like to be them in their job, so I can relate and encourage them in their jobs. So I think that everything I've learned along the way, again, is also, how can I do these jobs to then be able to train someone else to do those jobs as we've grown? Because we went from having, you know, our family and a few employees to now about 350. it had to just all grow. I had to feel like, I guess I felt like I had to grow along the way with the company and know all of these different areas and these different jobs to then be able to help other people be successful.
Absolutely. It's interesting because you've obviously earned street cred, although I imagine there's some people who don't know that you've done all those roles in this company and they just know you're the daughter of the chief executive officer. Did you ever feel like you had to prove that you deserved every position that you've had simply because you do deserve it? Do you carry that pressure or have you let go of that pressure?
I've been able to let go of that pressure. Yeah. I've always, though, had the mentality of I have to work harder than anyone else in the company because I never wanted anyone to feel that I was privileged or got a job handed to me simply because I was a part of the family. Mm-hmm. And my siblings carry that same sort of character, I guess, about them, that we all feel we need to work the hardest and prove that we are here for the right reason and that we aren't just getting handed something because, you know, our dad is the CEO.
Right. It's so interesting because I think what you say about yourself is so true. And it's interesting because you've chosen that. You've said, I want to work harder and people, you know, you've raised the bar and you hope people follow that work under you. As a woman, how are you balancing all the pressures of being a woman leader with life at work and life at home?
Oh, it's a hard balance, that's for sure.
Yes, it is.
I've learned a lot of hard lessons along the way over the years. You know, when my kids are now 12 and 15 years old. When I first, you know, when they were little and babies, my mom really has been the biggest support and help. And I really could have never worked full time all these years and had kids without her. She, you know, always watched my kids and so I could work. And it, again, like her role in our family business is really still like the caretaker and helps us all in that way. And so that we are able to actually go work in the business full time, which mm-hmm. is just a blessing. But yeah, I mean, I've been at the point where I'm overworked, overwhelmed, stressed out, burnt out, and I've learned the hard lessons over the years, of what it looks like when I don't feel that way and I can actually show up for everyone. And really, again, a lot of trial and error. I found a really good balance now and kind of know what that looks like to be able to balance the home life and work and all mm-hmm. the different components. But a lot of it is, I feel like each woman has to figure that out for herself because everyone has a very different capacity. And I just feel very blessed that, you know, God gave me a really high capacity for all of these things.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It's always a juggle, right? No matter how high your capacity is, your kids change, seasons of life change. And sometimes it's kind of like your dad was saying earlier, you have to be willing to transition and make a transition that works for that season. But I love that you have said yes to God's calling in your life, both to be a leader and to be an incredible mom.
Hey there, friends. We just wanted to pop in here real quick to let you know that if you're enjoying the content in this episode, we think you would also love our free digital download, Getting Unstuck. We know that so many women desire a life free from bitterness, regret, monotony, or roadblocks, yet it feels like you continue to be bogged down by comparison, unrealized dreams, and difficult relationships. We all get stuck, but not everyone engages with the reflective exercises it takes to find freedom from those ruts. In this digital download, Getting Unstuck, we walk you through discerning the 10 most common ways you may be feeling stuck in life, and then offer guided reflections, scriptures, and more to help you find freedom and unleash you into the life you desire. Once again, this resource is free and it's available now on our website when you search Getting Unstuck at wecollide.net. Happy colliding.
You say you love dreaming about the future, about what could be. I love that too. I'm a total visionary. I have big dreams in store for Collide. And even in the Collide story, I've kind of been able to, I can stand in the present and believe in what could be because I've seen what God's already done. And I'm wondering for you, you know, when you develop that, what can't he do kind of faith? I mean, you can look back to 2002 and think, wow, what can't God do in our future? Because I can look back to 2002 and be wildly amazed at what he's already done. How does that kind of faith fill you with bigger dreams than your current reality today?
Yeah, I think that I feel like, yeah, the options are endless. We could do anything. I feel like with the team of people we have and my family, I truly believe we could do anything we set out to do. And I think that it's almost, we can dream really big and then we say, okay, God, what do you want to do with this? Do you want us to go for it? Or should we, you know, sometimes there's restraint that needs to happen where we say we have these big hopes and dreams, but let's see what we have right now today and let's see what we have next week. And if it turns into those things and the opportunities are there, awesome. But if it doesn't, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. When you think about people listening who currently can't look back and see how God took something small and did immeasurably more than all they could ask or imagine yet, because they're standing here today with something small, like a small idea or a small dream or a small bank account, what's your guys' encouragement as those people lean into a bigger dream?
Well, I can speak to that really candidly, because what we have to look at is, you know, like it's really easy to say, hey, we started with this vision, we went executed it, and it's been just a bed of roses all the way along, and now we're just swimming in money, and, you know, it was just way too easy. You know, Willow, you know our story well enough to know that, you know, we had some severe challenges. You know, the 1 year into our business when we had two stores open, just, you know, barely scraping by, and I went away to prison for a year. And, you know, what's that do to a family? How does that impact everything around us? And so, you know, like when you talk about real life and what we've experienced every possible setback that you could have in a business and still have survived it only by the grace of God. We have gone through every emotion and, you know, all the various things that you could possibly imagine during those challenging times. So, you know, when somebody says, hey, I've got a vision, whether it's small or big, you know, we had a big vision, but we were definitely put on the sideline many times throughout this adventure, and it has truly been an adventure, and that I think is part of why we have done what we've done, because we love adventure.
Mm-hmm. Wes, you are being, you know, so candid about your story and that sort of major challenge that happened just shortly to the beginning of the genesis of Woods Coffee. Did you have a moment in that season where you were going to give up the dream, or were you sure all along, even in that struggle, that God was still going to use your family to unfold this vision?
Oh, I still had the vision and believed that it was going to happen. Would I have been surprised if I came back, you know, after a year and had it collapsed and we had not succeeded? No, I think that that would be unrealistic to say, you know, that I was that, you know, naive. Yes, it could have crashed and burned. It should have crashed and burned. There was no good reason that we succeeded. And so, yes, I get it. I you know, it's one of those things that we have lived this, and you know, but I had goals, I had ambition the entire time I was away. I was building the plans for what we're going to do next and how we're going to do it. And so when I got back, we just hit the ground running faster than we had previously. And within a short time, we were just off to the races. And, you know, it wasn't like anything was going to slow us down at that point, because we had already gone through the toughest battle that we possibly could have.
Mm. Kelly, when you hear your dad talk about that season of time, I'm sure you must remember it like it's yesterday. How do you think that shaped you as you look at the whole story? And how I think why it's so interesting to me that you're sharing it is because you're being pretty honest and vulnerable about a really hard season. And I think a lot of leaders and people who want to do amazing things with their life almost try to cover up the hard chapters. They almost feel stained by them. And I think it's really interesting that without being asked, you brought this up because you want people to know who are listening today, who have dreams of doing amazing things, that it's not all rainbows and butterflies and you're not perfect and it's not all big bank accounts and no obstacles or setbacks along the way. Why is that so important to you to say, to the degree that you would kind of throw yourself out there and say you went through this?
We've been really open and transparent. I think that we are as a family with challenges. And, you know, like we have not had a lot of personal challenges in our lives. You know, this was a major deal that happened, you know, and it was a problem that came to all of us. You know, there wasn't one place we could go where we could avoid this situation. So we had to lean in and really own it and understand it at every level. And I couldn't tell you what my wife had to go through or my kids went through because they had to face, the public while we're running a public business, you know, in a small town where, you know, this is all happening. And I'm on the front page of the local paper two days in a row about, you know, how serious this problem is, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a lengthy story, and people, if they want to look it up, they can look it up. There's all kinds of information. But, you know, the whole point is that we are very transparent. We want to be open. And I think that the hindrance in business is when people set up their camp and they don't let others in and they don't speak truth and they game play and, you know, all the things that just take so much effort and time out of a business. So we've been very open and honest and we encourage everybody that works with us and in our family to do the same so that, you know, we can get past that stuff quickly and simply and move on.
And for me, I think too, that a lot of people don't speak, as you said, don't speak to the challenges or the trying times or the hardships, but yet we all go through them. And that those are usually our defining moments. So I think that for me, the more we can talk about those things, the more others can actually relate and say, oh, you went through hard things too, but you still came out successful or it still worked out for you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's encouraging because everyone does go through hard things and it isn't just this fairy tale story almost ever. So anyway, I just think that's really important that we speak to those things.
Absolutely. I have two more questions, one for each of you. Kelly, one of the things I know Woods prides itself on is the impact that you make in the community, but also you say we want our people to discover their strengths, grow in leadership, and realize how much they influence others. I'm wondering if you can share a story of an employee you've had or something somewhere along the way since 2002, how a person's experience at Woods helped them discover their strengths and leadership qualities in a way that not only blessed and impacted their life, but they now have impacted other people's lives.
Oh yeah, for sure. I have lots of stories, but the one that stands out to me is a girl that started working for us 12 years ago. And she had gone to college and she had started a career in Seattle, and her family was from our area. And so she moved back up north to our area because I think she started dating someone at the time. She came to work for us thinking, oh, I'll just become a barista for a little bit, you know, make some money while I get by to figure out what's next, what my career path is going to be. And she just discovered through working as a barista that coffee was a lot of fun and that she really enjoyed people and maybe she had some, you know, leadership skills. And so through working for us, she became assistant manager, became a store manager. And then she's now been our district manager for over 6 years. And she's been able to then take her experience of just growing through being a barista and learning leadership to now being the one who, you know, trains managers and oversees all of our store managers and just can then pass her learnings on to all the people that she has influence over.
Hmm. So interesting. You guys started one coffee shop to educate your kids, and now look at all the people you're educating. Wes, at the end of the day, what do you hope is your legacy to your kids and your grandkids and their grandkids?
You know, that's a great question. I took last year and wrote my first book ever. And I actually wrote two books. And one was, you know, kind of my autobiography. And in doing so, it made me think through all the things that I had gone through and the experiences I had gone through and realizing, you know, we're all just human. We screw up all the time, and we have to pick ourselves back up. And, you know, what grace do we have for others? And in my case, you know, I've learned to have a lot more tolerance and grace for people than I ever did before, because I went through some hard times where, you know, I couldn't point a finger at someone else, you know, without judging myself. So, you know, that's huge to me is, you know, just making sure that people know that I'm real. I'll do anything for anyone, anytime. And, you know, I try and be involved as I can with, you know, different members of the family. And just, you know, if they said, hey, he's a real guy and, you know, I learned something from him, that would be really good for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, I am so grateful for your lives and the ways that you've said yes to God unfolding this story. And we continue to watch it unfold. And truly, you are educating others. You're passing on grace and you're blessing not only your family, but the community around you. So I just want to say thank you for all you're doing.
Our pleasure, man. This was a fun day. And, if anybody ever wants to reach out to either Kelly or myself, you can find us if you just go to our website, woodscoffee.com, and we're always willing to invest in other people.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. For those of you listening, may you know that grace is for you. And if you have a dream or a vision or an idea, you would be blown away by what God can do with it if you lean into it and take just one small step of faith today. I pray that you do that, keep colliding, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at WeCollideWomen, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.